Good afternoon. My name is Lindsay Perkin, as Tyler mentioned, and I'm a new ARS scientist in College Station. I'm new to Cotton, and this is my first Beltwide, so I appreciate the opportunity to talk today. I'm going to be talking about using these same SNP markers Tyler laid out for you so well and applying them to demography of the boll weevil, and I'm going to use a recent infestation in Kingsville, Texas as an example. Okay, so as you've heard from our last two speakers, the boll weevil is a bad pest of cotton, right? It's very destructive. It costs us a lot of money every year worldwide. The boll weevil eradication program was developed in the late 70s, and it was a huge success. However, it's only been eradicated from 98% of its range. So we still have a problem area, and that's in far south Texas, along the Texas-Mexico border. And there's several reasons it's still a problem down there. Partly, temperatures are mild year-round. Boll weevils can live year-round. And so there's not like a hard freeze that can kill them every winter as in other parts of their range. Additionally, there are regulatory discrepancies across the U.S.-Mexico border. And so as crops are destroyed south of Texas, boll weevils can move northward and infest the lower Rio Grande Valley area of Texas. And that picture there is just showing you, this is a cotton plant that has become basically a woody shrub in someone's front yard. So there's also plants out there year-round where boll weevils can live. Okay, so the two reinfestations that have happened in recent history is one in Uvalde, Texas in 2015. That's this star right here. This is the U.S.-Mexico border. It took about 4 years to clean up those weevils. There were over almost 16,000 weevils captured in 2016 alone, and it cost us $5 million to get that cleaned up. So very costly. And then again in 2018 in the Kingsville area, this other red star here, started in 2018. We've increased spraying, increased trap densities, but it could be another costly remediation there. So I want to focus on this Kingsville reinfestation. Weevils started popping up in July of 2018. So here's Kingsville down here. It's very clustered here, but these yellow pins show the first two fields where we found weevils. And then it kind of exploded from there around the Kingsville area. And then later into August and September, we started seeing them pop up near Robstown and again here in Alice. And so total, there were 247 weevils that were captured from 49 different fields. And because we kind of had wherewithal from the Uvalde reinfestation, we were able to tell the Texas Boll Weevil Eradication Foundation to save all these weevils and keep them in ethanol to preserve them so we could do some genetic analysis. And so they did that for us. And they did it on a weekly basis, and they were really good about recording exactly where they came from, down to the trap in the field, and then also the date they were collected. And so what we want to answer with this genetic information is where did these weevils come from? So where are they coming in from? And then how did they get there? And I'll explain that more here in a minute. So as soon as we got these weevils, we extracted their genomic DNA. That's a picture of my undergrad, Jolie Starling, doing that on all the weevils. So she kept busy this summer. And then we sent the DNA to the University of Minnesota, which is a GBS licensed facility, to do our DD-RAD-seq library preparation and sequencing on an Illumina NovaSeq. And then we put these sequences through a bioinformatic pipeline. We discovered SNPs, and then we used those SNPs in a variety of different analyses. So to jump right in then, to determine where these weevils came from, this is very similar to the PCA plot Tyler just showed you, and it defines three different populations of weevils. In green, we have the central Mexico weevils. Purple is the western from Arizona. And then the pink one, eastern, is the Tamaulipas and lower Rio Grande Valley area. So when you add our Kingsville weevil to this database of SNPs, they pop out within that eastern cluster, and I've circled that in that bluish color. And so it seems very clear that these weevils are coming from the lower Rio Grande Valley area. I say lower Rio Grande Valley and Tamaulipas area because it's pretty much one population. Okay, so if you look at the map, if you draw a line as the bird flies or the crow flies from Kingsville to the lower Rio Grande Valley, it's about 100 miles. So how are these small little weevils traveling 100 miles? We have a couple different hypotheses. The first is that a small number of weevils are moving into the area, maybe by the help of farm equipment. So if there's a farmer in an area where cotton is infested, but they're not cotton farmers, they're watermelon farmers, for example, they don't have the regulations to clean their equipment. And so they could be moving weevils into our eradicated areas. If this is the case, those weevils should be very closely related to one another, right? They should, if a small number then reproduces, they should all be brothers and sisters or closely related individuals. On the other hand, we could have a situation where we have continuous waves of large numbers of weevils coming in throughout their growing season. And this could be because of wind or something like that. And if this is the case, individuals we find should not be very related to each other. So we're taking the SNPs here, and I'm using a program called CoAncestry, which was first developed in 2011 for microsat data. Now it's been updated to be able to use large SNP data sets, and it's going to tell us how related these individuals are to one another based on how many SNPs they share. So it's a great way to visualize demographics and connectivity between weevils and different populations, and it does this by calculating what's called a relatedness estimate, and then you can put that estimate into different kinship categories to help you kind of visualize how related these individuals are to one another. And so it's kind of like ancestry.com for weevils. And another great thing about this program is that it allows you to simulate seven different simulators of relatedness. And you can find the best one based on your population parameters. And so this is some of the simulations from the Kingsville data set. I'm only going to show you the top four. They're listed down here. And then along the y-axis is our relatedness estimate. And so if weevils are a parent-offspring relationship, their relatedness value would be 1. So it might be a little hard to see, but there's a red dotted line there. If they are half siblings or full siblings, the relatedness value is at 0.5. First cousins would be 0.25. And then if the relatedness estimate is 0, they're not related at all. And so to pick your best model then, you look across here and find the ones where there's the least amount of variation around that true value. And I found that the two on either end, shown in blue and yellow, they performed equally well, but I'm just going to focus on the one shown in blue, Trio ML, today. Okay, so now we use those, we found our best model, and now I'm going to put our Kingsville data and actually run it to find the relatedness estimates of each pair of weevils in Kingsville. So on the x-axis, it's number of weevil comparisons, and what I mean by that is it's weevil 1 compared to weevil 2, weevil 1 compared to weevil 3, 4, etc. So you end up with over 4,000 comparisons. I had 186 weevils total and about 8,000 loci. And so for each pair then, a relatedness estimator was calculated. And you can see across here that the vast majority of weevils were completely unrelated to each other. And then there were very few that were distant relatives. So you can think of them as second and third cousins. And so we really think that this supports the mass dispersal hypothesis, so many weevils, new wave of weevils coming in throughout the growing season. And what's more, if you combine this with some wind or some air movement data, it further supports that idea. So this model is called a high split model. Each colored arrow is a day within this week in August that I picked somewhat randomly. And then the blue plume is kind of the extent to where the air would move. So you can imagine it as if I set a fire down here in Ettenburg, Texas, the smoke plume would be that blue that you see in the picture. And so as you can see, for at least a day in that single week, we have wind movement, or air movement, I should say, going pretty much straight into the Kingsville-Alice area. And this pattern is pretty much repeated throughout the growing season. So it seems like the weevils, they move in from this air current, we kill them, another wave comes in, we spray another. So it seems to be happening over and over throughout the growing season. Okay, so further directions then, we want to continue to collect weevils from Kingsville and kind of watch this reinfestation play out. For the Uvalde infestation, I mentioned at the beginning, we did not save weevils from the initial year, but we had some from later years, and I've done this calculation with that. And it's kind of interesting because it shows that they become more and more related to each other throughout the years, which may signify overwintering of weevils. And so for the sake of eradication, I hope we don't have more weevils next year, but for the sake of the science, I think it would be really interesting to follow this reinfestation through however many years it takes to clean it up. And then what's also interesting is that we can create subsets with the data, and so we can, by date or by field, and we can watch the reinfestations kind of throughout time, which is another thing I want to do. So I think with that, I'll acknowledge my group. So a lot of the stuff I showed at the beginning was all Tyler. He's done the SNP pipeline. And our Farm Bill group, which consists of Greg Sword, Tyler at A&M, our group at USDA, and then some folks at APHIS as well. And then we've gotten funding and a lot of support from the Texas Boll Weevil Eradication Foundation and Cotton Incorporated. So with that, I can take questions. I think I have plenty of time. Yes. That's a good question, and I think you probably would, but it's not an active eradication area south of there, so. If they are kind of dropping off before Kingsville, it may not fall in an eradicated zone, so we don't really know. You know, it's still kind of part of the problem area, if that makes sense. Okay. Well, once weevils are detected in traps, they generally spray pretty quickly. So I guess it depends on how well the spray kills everything. But also our traps only capture, I think it's like 10% of the weevils that are in the field. So we do have a sampling problem as well.
I need to like click out.